The Holy Word according to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. And the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their consistency is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Please read verses 9 through 11 along with me. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion. Herald all good tidings. Lift up your voices with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See the Lord God come with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated, and the children can come forward and join me for children's time and get ready to go to Sunday school with Pastor Jeremiah. We'll sing Into My Heart as we gather.
Into my heart.
Well, good morning, friends. I'm just wondering how many had a favorite food at Thanksgiving? Can you share with me, Trinity, what was your favorite? I guess it was turkey. Turkey was your favorite part of Thanksgiving? Okay, what about you?
Lefse
was your favorite. Good.
Bread.
Bread and lefse. Good, Mary. Stuffing. Isn't that the best? Yeah, what was your favorite? Cranberries. I'm getting hungry right now. What about you, Gavin?
The chocolate cupcakes.
That we chocolate cupcakes? I'm coming to your house. Any favorite foods over here from Thanksgiving? What was it? A lot of food. You enjoyed it. Yeah, me too. Well, we just had a family meal here at church, and the main course was called lutefisk. Have you heard of it?
No.
Have you tried it?
No.
Well, you got to come next year. A gentleman at my table had 3 bowlfuls of fish. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fish. It was his favorite at the Thanksgiving family meal at church. Well, we have our favorite foods. I love mashed potatoes. So good, and it brings me a lot of comfort in my belly. And sometimes after Thanksgiving, I eat till I'm so full that all I want to do afterwards is take a nap. Oh, I'm so comfortable. I'm so full. My mouth is filled with wonderful things that I'm just ready to snuggle in, full, my belly full to take a good nap. So God provides us food that brings us comfort, like around the holidays. And today, as Teresa read for us, God also gives us God's word that also brings us comfort. Words like peace and hope and grace and love, and they're like things that we can eat to fill our lives so full that we can rest, kind of like a nap, rest in God. and know that God is with us. And so you're going to hear about that in Sunday school a little bit for those who are going to go and those helpers that are going to go. You're going to think about people who need comfort and what we can say in some of God's word that will bring them comfort. And those who are staying can help themselves to some coloring sheets and bless somebody with that. But before we go, let's pray. Would you pray with me? Please repeat after me. Dear God,
thank you
for great food that brings us comfort. And also your word. And God's people said, amen. All right, friends, you may go to Sunday school if that's where you're off to. Or go with Pastor Jeremiah. If you want to stay in color, you're certainly welcome to do that as well. Great to see you. Well, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So these might be some fairly familiar words that Teresa read for us from the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament, partially due to how she started chapter 40, verse 1, comfort, comfort all ye people. There are a lot of around Advent, Christmas time, some songs that tell that story might be familiar to you. And also the second part of that, verse 4, which I think, Caleb, there's a picture of preparing the way of the Lord is an Advent message. We usually hear in Luke that John the Baptist is coming, preparing the way of the Lord, and they get this text of the image of what John the Baptist is doing from this book of Isaiah. So this time of the year, these are fairly familiar verses that we hear. These verses are written by the prophet Isaiah, and they are written to God's people who now no longer live in Judah or Jerusalem, because Babylon has come in and taken over the whole region, and they have been exiled. The scripture tells us, we use the word today, refugees. They had to leave their homes, their schools, their jobs, their church, and go live in a different land. And so while the people are in exile in a whole different country, in a whole different way of living, this voice from Isaiah gives them hope, a promise, a prophetic voice that soon they will return home. Now, home conjures up a bunch of different images for me. Usually home is a great place to be, a place that we return to each night, a place where our families gather together, a place that we rest well at night, and also a place where we can play. Home is a place that we return to for family dinners and class reunions, and there's all these phrases, home sweet home, home is where the heart is, home is where you can hang your hat. But there's one trip home that I can think about that was not filled with all these wonderful, beautiful, uplifting sentiments and feelings. It was a time that I had to return home after my dad died. It was a mid-September day when we got the news that my dad died, and my mom still lives in southern Iowa, over 10 hours away from here. And at that time, I had a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. And so we needed to get a little bit more time to get back home. We weren't expecting bad roads, it being the time of the year, and we weren't expecting bad weather. But I do distinctively remember asking God to make a clear path for us to get home, the quickest way. I didn't want to come upon an accident and have to stop and help other people. I didn't want to be detoured through Iowa. I needed the quickest way to get home, to be home. There was a deep urgency to grieve the sudden death of my father. But it was those last few miles going into my hometown that started being like it was slow motion. I did not have the same urgency to drive into the driveway. I started thinking about all the emotion that I was going to have to face going home for the first time without my dad being there. Life had changed dramatically overnight for my mom and for me and for my brothers, and all of a sudden I didn't want to go there. In fact, it felt impossible to go there, not urgent. And I remember I asked Chad, my husband, to pull the car over. I thought maybe I was going to throw up with all the emotions and the thoughts that were overwhelming me. But instead, all I needed to do was take some deep breaths of fresh Iowa air that soothed my soul until we drove home. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and preach to them that they have served their term in exile, and speak hope that they can return home. But I wonder for those refugees if this was a word of good news. Initially, I would think it would be, finally, after all these years, we get to return home to Jerusalem and to Judah. But they too have experienced a death of sorts. They're returning to a land that probably has changed dramatically in the years that they've been gone. Their homes, different. Their workplaces maybe have changed. And their temple most certainly was destroyed, their church destroyed, like we heard about last week. And they may be wondering to themselves, God, what are you up to? Are you truly with us? Are you the one leading us? Did you displace us just to toy with us to go home to a different land, to a new reality? What are you up to, God? On the second Sunday of Advent, you may ask yourself some of the same questions. Maybe life hasn't turned out exactly the way you thought it would. This weekend, we've hosted 3 funerals. Not what the families had in mind this Advent season. Life changed overnight. The crops rotting in the fields around us was not the hope of the farmer who planted the seeds. And maybe the relationships that you've invested your time and your energy in are withering away like sand through your fingers. Some of our life challenges are due to our choices, it's true, and our behaviors and some of our judgments. And some of our life challenges are due to timing or circumstance. But most likely our complicated lives are due to wearing a variety of hats, balancing a variety of needs and roles, and not finding peace and calm in our lives on a regular basis. Some of us haven't even had to move in a physical way into a new home to have this feeling of being adrift. Some of us haven't been displaced like refugees, and yet we still carry around this emotion of God's people who are in exile, of wandering. And then a voice cries out. Teresa read for us, a voice cries out in the wilderness. That is in your and my life. That is a description of the wilderness, of God's people wandering around, lost, adrift, tired, afraid, busy, unsure of life, unsure what's going on in the world, unsure of ourselves. And that voice says, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Prepare the way of the Lord. That is the voice that comes into our lives today. And let's just be clear, this is not our own doing. God has not given us construction hats to go out and change the roads. God is doing this work on our behalf, for us, to get to us this Sunday in Advent with urgency and with grace. God is making a way to you, towards you, this Sunday in Advent, clearing a pathway to us. Because as Isaiah says, when the road is clear, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all people, you and me, shall see God. God today is removing the barriers in our lives so that we may see God and know God better and deeper and longer. Think about our partners in ministry this month, Village of Hope. And like Sandy said, how much we are the same and not different from the families who are looking for a home. For home, for peace, for security, for rest. God is removing barriers in our own lives too, so that we may see God more clearly. God is mighty, as Isaiah shared in this text, and God is like a shepherd coming toward us so that we may know God more fully. God was certainly with the people when they lived in Judah and Jerusalem. God was certainly with the people when they lived in exile in Babylon. And God is certainly going to make home his dwelling place with God's people as they move back to Jerusalem, what we'll hear about next Sunday. Frederick Buechner, in his book Longing for Home, makes this case. You and I have experienced many places that we've called home, but Buechner claims that there's really only one home place, one homestead. And this place is not the place that you return to every 10 years for a class reunion. It's not the place where you return to your first home after being married. It's not the place you return to after work. But the truest sense of home is the place that Christ lives. The home we long for and ultimately belong to is where Christ is. And when we invite Christ to be a part of our life journey, when we invite Christ to be part of our hearts, part of our lives, part of our houses, then we are most certainly at home. Where you dwell, Christ dwells, and then we feel at home. Returning to home may prevent many challenges. It may provoke some unwanted memories, and you might find yourself in a whole different reality. But the feeling of home, what God is preparing for us to receive this second Sunday of Advent, is Christ himself. And this evokes feeling of love and peace and grace and hope as we wait for God to come closer and closer to us every day. Beloved children of God, the Lord is coming. Let us prepare by laying down our burdens and our barriers and allowing God to take them away, to make straight a path into our lives, to lower or raise whatever roads need to be changed so that God can come. Come closer, come nearer. Emmanuel, God is with us, is coming with urgency and with grace so that all may know of God's abiding and everlasting love. Amen.